The New Science of Physical Health.
Welcome back, everybody, to this lesson. You know, as an educator, I've noticed that regardless of what country my students come from, whether that's teenagers, which has been my career for almost four decades, or whether it's adults, and I've spent an enormous amount of time working with adults as well. The health and physical education syllabus is universal across all countries, just about very, very similar. Although it's mandatory for teachers to follow a specific course, this is what I've observed. Students leave school without having a clear understanding of what it means to be physically healthy. So after this almost 40 years now that I've been teaching these two subjects, I've encountered every single student, like not just some of them, not just most of them, but every single student struggle to articulate the criteria for becoming classified as medically healthy when they're an adult. In their 20s, what does it look like? Is it different in their 30s? Does their body change? What about your 40s and 50s? They struggle to articulate it. When asked the question, this is what I ask lots and lots and lots of people as they leave school. How do you know when you were classified as medically healthy? So if you're listening to this right now, ask yourself that question. Do you know the answer? How do you know when you were classified as medically healthy and at low risk from sickness, disease, and premature death? The responses I get are varied, but most of the time they're inconclusive. This series of lessons that you're about to go through are going to be about physiological and molecular health adaptations. I'm going to give you a series of maybe 10, maybe 15 minute lessons about physiological and molecular health adaptations, because your risk of excess weight, complications from excess weight, complications from catastrophic cardiovascular events, complications from type 2 diabetes, high blood sugar, and complications from the cluster of conditions known as metabolic disease, your risk of them causing you sickness or causing you disease or causing premature death is governed 100% of the time by the amount of positive physiological and molecular health adaptations that you can create in your body. 100% of the time. It simply comes down to the structure and function of what's happening inside your body. So to set this series up, we're going to walk you through. I'm going to walk you through in this lesson, in these lessons, a series of 10 or so minute health adaptation lessons. So let me explain what this is. So this lesson, the one you're listening to right now, is going to be setting it up. Then the next lesson, lesson number 2 in this sequence, lesson number 3 in this sequence, lesson number 4, and so on, are going to be talking specifically about the health adaptation. So let's get on to setting up in this lesson what I mean by all of that. Physiological health adaptations refer to changes that occur within the human body's systems and the functions in response to physical activity, planned or unplanned. I'll come to that definition shortly. The correct dose of physical activity stimulate, whether it's gardening or whether it's riding a push bike or anything else, the correct dose of physical activity stimulates adaptations that positively impact various physiological processes, leading to, the effect is, it leads to improved health outcomes and a decreased risk of complications that I just mentioned. For example, I'm going to give you one example right now so I can highlight this right off the bat. This is just one example of a health adaptation. Engaging in the right amount of physical activity, what I call the correct dose, planned, which means you're planning to do a physical activity session, or unplanned, which means you might take your, might have to walk a long way to your car, walk a long way up a set of stairs. That's unplanned physical activity. Or just doing gardening contributes to a decrease, planned and unplanned, correct dose of physical activity contributes to a decrease in something called arterial stiffness. This is the example I want to talk about right now. One example. The result is a structural improvement. So if you have the correct dose of physical activity, you get a structural improvement and an enhancement on the inside of your blood vessel skin. The name for this skin is called endothelial cells or endothelial tissue. So you get to improve something called your endothelial function. See, arterial stiffness means that your blood vessels become less elastic. That's the definition of it. It's typically associated with aging. However, unknown to most people, arterial stiffness begins happening in the decade from 20 to 30 years old. That's mind-boggling sometimes. When you're a teenager, you don't get arterial stiffness, but you get a decrease in the elasticity, naturally, of your blood vessels between 20 and 30 years old. Then it increases that arterial stiffness between 30 to 40 years of age, naturally. And it continues between 40 to 50 years of age and then accelerates each decade if you do not use the correct dose of physical activity every 7 days. So arterial stiffness, as I said, refers to this reduced elasticity or flexibility of your blood vessels. Really critical, by the way, to have flexible blood vessels. The effect of the stiffness can increase the workload on your heart and elevate the risk of a cardiovascular event like a heart attack or stroke. Think about this. People believe that they get to 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 and a heart attack comes out of nowhere. No. One of the contributing factors, I call it a precursor condition, is arterial stiffness. Arterial stiffness naturally increases over time. The endothelium, the inner lining of your blood vessels, plays a crucial role in vascular health. Improved endothelial function, because you can't improve it, even though it naturally decreases, you can do a huge amount to combat that. Improved endothelial function signifies better dilation and constriction of blood vessels, better blood flow regulation, and reduced inflammation within the blood vessels. So if you look after your endothelium, the skin on the inside of your artery that you never get to see, well, you will inside the book that we have called The Perfect Health Lesson and also inside the classroom, but you'll improve it. So regular physical activity, planned or unplanned, and we go into that in another lesson, when dosed appropriately, prompts positive physiological health adaptations. Physical activity stimulates the production of a molecule called nitric oxide that helps dilate blood vessels, means expand them, improving, making more flexible your endothelial function. Additionally, this physical activity contributes to reduced arterial stiffness each decade by enhancing vascular function and promoting this much needed elasticity inside your artery walls. The cumulative effect of these physiological adaptations induced by the correct dose of physical activity results in a decreased risk of cardiovascular complications, the number one cause of sickness, disease, and premature death. Improved endothelial function, remember, it's just one of the many positive health adaptations that you'll create using the Perfect Health Lesson. Improved endothelial function and decreased arterial stiffness lead to better blood vessel health, reducing strain on your heart, lower blood pressure, absolutely critical, improved blood flow and decreased inflammation within the cardiovascular system. By positively impacting these physiological markers, the risk of complications from cardiovascular events, such as the two dominant ones, heart attacks and strokes, that gets mitigated. Individuals who engage in appropriately dosed physical activity experience a lower incidence of these life-threatening events due to improved health and resilience of the cardiovascular system, showcasing the significant impact of physiological adaptations brought about by planned and unplanned physical activity. The great challenge for almost everyone is this. Your body today, as you listen to this, and this week over the next 7 days from whenever you're listening to this, it's either generating positive or negative molecular and physiological health adaptations. Which one is happening to you? Negative, so it's increasing arterial stiffness in this example I'm using, or positive, it's decreasing it, is almost entirely dependent physically on whether or not you're receiving the correct dose of physical activity, planned or unplanned. If you have to walk up a massive flight of stairs, that's physical activity that will contribute to decreasing your arterial stiffness. And I'll go into that in more detail when we get to that particular lesson, where we'll go into just totally talking about the detail of nitric oxide and endothelial function. I've only just touched on it in this lesson. In my millions of conversations over the past four decades of teaching health, see, I literally had about 5 million conversations, I've estimated, by calculating out how many we have a week. I've observed this point over and over and again when it comes to the topic of health adaptations. The vast and overwhelming majority of adults have never heard of the phrase molecular and physiological health adaptations, let alone have any comprehension of what these adaptations might actually be. The effect of being oblivious to this health concept is often catastrophic. Here's an example. I've asked literally tens of thousands of people this question. What age do you think adults begin to develop the precursor condition for most heart attacks called atherosclerosis? Now, we'll go into that in one of the lessons, what that is, but it's a progressive and chronic condition characterized by the buildup of plaque made up of cholesterol, fatty substances, calcium, and other cellular waste products within the walls of your arteries. More detail about that later. Now, this disease, atherosclerosis, is a big contributor or precursor before you have a heart attack or stroke. It's a silent disease, has no symptoms. On average, when I ask people, when do you think you begin developing atherosclerosis? Most people tell me they think the disease starts happening to them or someone in their 40s and 50s. Almost everyone's got atherosclerosis, by the way. And it's a massive contributor to the number one killer, heart attacks and strokes. There's a great shock, though, when I reveal that extensive and worldwide medical research, so people mostly think it happens in their 40s and 50s, the age I am now, 57, the research proves to us, worldwide research, that the development of atherosclerosis begins early in life, even, this will blow your mind, during adolescence. So the rest of these lessons that you're about to receive, the about 10, maybe 15-minute lessons, nice and short, will reveal a series of negative molecular and physiological health adaptations you've never heard of that I'm certain most people have never come across. As I reveal each of them to you in the lessons coming up, I'll discuss how you can use the software that we have, your health impact software, to improve this medical biometric that I've defined in other lessons called your CRF score, and how that will drive down your clinical risk of ever developing these negative molecular and physiological health adaptations, because you want to develop the positive one, the positive version of it. You either got one or the other, a negative or a positive. It doesn't sit in between. Your body is either developing positive or negative molecular physiological health adaptations right now. So we're going to be going through in these series of lessons, so you can understand it, how to drive down your risk of sickness, disease, and premature death, specifically those related to excess weight, catastrophic cardiovascular events, destructive blood sugar levels, and the cluster of conditions known as metabolic disease. You know when you'll understand it? When you begin to take weekly or consistent action steps in achieving the correct dose of physical activity that drives down your risk of complications and particularly premature death. You'll also begin working towards 100 health impact points using our health impact software. That's when you'll know you understand it and when you've got what I'm talking about in these lessons. So the lesson is coming up. 100% of the time, you don't have conditions and diseases that could lead to sickness, chronic long-term disease, and premature death just out of nowhere. You can reduce the risk, but you need to know what these health adaptations are. And that's why we're going to walk you through these particular lessons related to 16 different health adaptations, related to two diagrams that I've created, the impact quadrant and the molecular benefit map. We'll talk about those coming up, not in this lesson. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm really excited about sharing with you these health adaptations. There's so much for us to cover, and some things that I'm going to reveal to you, I guarantee you've never heard. And we're going to make a real difference in helping you to avoid the complications that come to so many millions and millions of people around the world. See you shortly at the first lesson that we're going to cover in how to create positive molecular and physiological health adaptations to drive down your risk of complications from the big four, so that you get less opportunity in your body to have sickness, disease, and premature death. See you shortly in the next lesson. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us in today's episode of The New Science of Physical Health. We hope you have found the education content informative and enjoyable, and will share it with others. In today's episode, Shane made reference to a brand new project that will be released in early 2024 called The Perfect Health Lesson. If you would like to find out more about this project right now and get access to its pre-release, then go ahead and visit the website in the show notes for today's episode.